Guns have made the news recently in a couple of legal aspects. In New Jersey, the Attorney General released new requirements for people who are seeking a right to carry permit. Nationally, U.S. Supreme Court reversed a lower court ruling regarding what they're referred to as ghost guns. With those to explore these new matters is a military law enforcement veteran, a writer who's written about firearms for over a decade now. He's chief editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's investigative reporting project, Lee Williams. How are you today, Lee?
Good. How are you doing?
Great to have you here. Talk about this, these two situations, because they are interesting, curious, intriguing, and annoying all at the same time. Website for Second Amendment Foundation is saf.org. And let us begin in New Jersey. We have the link at our homepage, too, so you can download this. It's called the Use of Force Interim Training for Private Citizen Concealed Carry. We turn to page 13, Lee, because that's when we see the beginning of what is required for a person seeking a right to carry permit here in New Jersey to be able to do. And basically, just to, I'm not going to go step by step here, although it involves strong side kneeling, standing on command from a secured holster position, fire 3 rounds in 25 seconds, reholster and uncock. You basically are going to have to go through the training a Marine would have to go through. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. I think we need to start with some perspective. I mean, this is a massive infringement of the New Jersey Second Amendment rights. It's bad enough you have to bend the knee, pay a fee, and beg the Crown to sell you back your civil rights, but now you have to prove you're capable of exercising a constitutional right. I mean, folks are arguing about the specifics of the AG's interim requirements, and I will definitely have issues with these requirements, but this entire process is unconstitutional on its face. I mean, do we test other constitutional rights? Do we have to show competency when voting or going to church? Maybe we should start testing journalists to make sure they have some competency with their First Amendment rights. We're seeing this across the country. This is what I like to call post-Bruin tantrum laws or rules. Bruin, of course, was the Supreme Court decision that says you have a right to carry a defensive firearm outside your home. This is cropping up everywhere. We're seeing it across the country. It's well organized. It's being orchestrated by the White House. But it is clear that the New Jersey's AG, Matt Plotkin, wants to make it as difficult as possible for civilians to get to exercise their Second Amendment rights. This, in and of itself, is a violation of their civil rights. Now, I've looked at this, and to be clear, this interim training requirements, I mean, this is a standard police qualification from the 1990s. This is old, it's far from state-of-the-art, and it's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. I mean, look, they're making these applicants shoot from 25 yards. That forces applicants to use larger duty-style weapons. That excludes a huge number of popular carry firearms, like 380s, short-barrel revolvers. And this is an unreasonable distance for civilian carry. I've never seen a shooting by a civilian at 25 yards. They're also making them carry an open carry holster, which law enforcement would carry. I mean, only law enforcement can carry openly in New Jersey anyway, yet the armed citizens must have to get one of these holsters and go through this training. Armed civilians carry concealed, police carry openly in New Jersey. And besides, brother, many civilian ranges won't even allow you to draw from a holster. It's drawing from a holster, and I shoot all the time. I mean, I'm dry firing every day. I'm probably shooting once or twice a week. Reholstering a weapon is one of the most dangerous things we do. If you have a piece of your shirt or there's a finger or some obstruction in your holster, the gun can go bang. That's why a lot of civilian ranges won't allow you to reholster or draw from a holster. So I don't know where these guys are going to get this practice to pass this test.
On the surface, immediately as you again turn to page 13, if you have arthritis, any sort of neuromuscular disease, if you are an older person, maybe not the best of strength to handle the larger weapon that you reference to, you're out right off the bat. You don't even get past step one on this.
Yeah, I mean, look at the kneeling. I mean, nobody does this anymore. I've only been in a handful of gunfights, and I never kneeled once because it makes it difficult to see the bad guy. And man, once your knees touch the ground, you're stationary. And stationary targets seem to get ventilated in a gunfight. This is an old state police tactic. It's like they used to teach shooting a handgun from the prone position. But like you pointed out, they're being, and I love to use this word on the other team, they're being very ableist because handicapped folks or people of poor mobility will be excluded from exercising their Second Amendment rights. And brother, I don't know any indoor ranges that will allow you to shoot from a kneeling position. Sometimes those that do, the people will set their targets just too close when they're kneeling, and they'll shoot rounds into the ceiling. But, I mean, you read through this, they keep talking about point shoulder. You must fire from the point shoulder position. That's pre-9/11 crap. Nowadays, to draw a picture, imagine your shooting arm, if you're right-handed, your right arm is extended fully, and then your left arm is not kind of trying to turn your body into your arms into a rifle. Well, you end up blading your left side toward the target, and law enforcement found that has a nasty byproduct of getting rounds between your vest panels and killing cops. Nowadays, everybody's shooting from the isosceles triangle with both arms pushed out in front of you. Makes it easier to track left or to the right, takes advantage of body armor. I hadn't seen point shoulder position in a police qualification for decades. And I got a huge issue with this weak hand, with this offhand shooting that they're requiring. I'm unaware, and I track civilian DGUs, defensive gun usages. I'm unaware of any civilian defensive gun use that required the civilian to transition from strong side to weak side, from their strong hand to their weak hand. It just doesn't happen. And hitting at 15 yards with your weak hand, that's very difficult for a new shooter. This would be an easy course, an easy qualification to max if you're shooting constantly, if you have the right firearm. This is going to be difficult. There are going to be very few new shooters that pass this. I mean, look at, they have one yard line, 2 rounds in 2 seconds. It's just strange for civilian shooters to be doing it. That's an old tactic, like this whole thing. This is from the 1990s.
Well, the whole thing with the holstering and the reholstering, I'm envisioning envisioning a home invader. Am I going out there like Wyatt Earp and looking for the invader? I'm going to pull my Buntline special and then reholster it after I down them?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And before you get to page 13, they have some interesting information that they're passing out to these civilian shooters. They have a use of force continuum, which is for law enforcement. They've kind of civilianized it, starting with your presence. When you're an officer in uniform, your presence is the lowest rung on the use of force. Civilians won't be wearing uniforms. So this thing is just bastardized from law enforcement to civilian. And unfortunately, it does point out that they still have a duty to retreat in New Jersey, which is insane. I mean, you and your wife are going through a restaurant parking lot. Bad guy comes up, points a gun at you. You have a duty to retreat if you can do that safely. Here in Florida, we have this little law called Stand Your Ground, and that allows you to meet deadly force with deadly force. You don't have to try and run away and get capped in the back, but you still do in New Jersey. This thing is an unconstitutional mess. There are issues with the specifics, but on its face, it is a massive infringement. It can be attacked from a training perspective because they're trying to train guys up to a higher level, which is stupid for a civilian carrier. And you're going to get guys that have to have open carry holsters and then a concealed holster. But from a Second Amendment rights perspective, this thing is massively infringy.
Dr. Lee Williams from the Second Amendment Foundation. He is the chief editor of their investigative reporting project. SAF.org is their website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Turning to a national level issue in firearms, they are referred to as ghost guns. And the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court this past week, temporarily allowed continued access to the kits that these guns are built from. Talk about what a ghost gun is first. Again, that's the common term. Is there a more technical term to them? And basically, a judge ruled in Texas, or I guess the defining line is, when does a gun become a gun?
My technical term for these is homemade firearms. And we need to keep in mind that Americans have been making firearms in their homes completely legally since before there was a United States of America. I've assembled two Glock clones in my home here in Florida where it's perfectly legal. It's a process. It's fun, actually. You need a drill. You need some knowledge. It comes with a jig that you put the plastic in. It's a pretty good time, especially when you build a firearm and take it out to the range and get to shoot it, and it works. And trust me, they work. So we've sued because the ATF, the newly weaponized ATF, which is doing Joe Biden's bidding, says that, you know, these things are evil and they need to be stopped, and that's just a complete load of bunk. But, and we sued them and we're winning, we being the Second Amendment Foundation. You have a federal court who stopped the ATF from enforcing this rule. So while the case proceeds, so then the Supreme Court put a stay to that stay. It basically said, while this suit is ongoing, ATF can enforce their frame rule, which means, you know, these things would be illegal. But we're going to win the lawsuit. I'm not concerned. The Supreme Court has a history of deferring a little bit to the government in cases such as this, even though we're going to win this suit. It all stems from the fact that ATF wants to be judge, jury, and executioner. They pass rules that have the severity of law. I mean, you can go to federal prison for violating an ATF rule. So they're passing rules, they're passing laws, in essence, and then enforcing them. And the courts have found that that violates the separation of powers. We're going to see ATF lose this. They're going to lose the pistol brace, just like they did the bump stock. ATF has this propensity to write their own laws, enforce their own laws, and put people in jail. And that's not the way our system is supposed to work. We saw this with the pistol brace. We're going to see this with the aftermarket triggers. They're going to take another punching. And this is just an interim thing. I hope the ATF is not stupid enough to go out and start enforcing this frame rule while this case is proceeding. But the ATF is pretty stupid, so they probably will.
And at the same time, too, if they're trying to do at least a limitation or a ban, but the sales are not being prohibited.
No, nor should they be. There's so much spin coming out of ATF and out of D.C. Ever since, you know, we got this guy, the current resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, they're going after basic common sense stuff. I don't see these. We've already caught the ATF making up and juking the stats on these homemade firearms. We caught them. I've written about that. It takes a lot of expertise. It takes a little bit of knowledge, and it takes a hell of a lot of work to put one of these things together. And they're fun, and that should not be an issue.
Learn more about these and other issues when it comes to firearms and Second Amendment rights in America. Second Amendment Foundation's website, saf.org. We also have, again, a link to the proposed interim New Jersey right to carry training changes that you can review in more detail as well at the homepage of our website. He is the chief editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's investigative reporting project, Lee Williams. Thank you for the education, better understanding that comes from education about these two topics, for being here today.
Anytime. My pleasure.